Thank you, Lauren and Michelle. That was beautiful. I looked around and I didn't see Michelle, and I said, I sure hope she's here, because I said, there's one thing I will not do, and that's sing on the loudspeaker. It's like the story that we read about this morning about a man who fell asleep. Paul was such a long preacher, I guess, that man fell asleep and fell off the two-story building, and Paul had to revive him. And thank God that we don't have any balconies here, too. But I hope this presentation won't be that long. Before we get into the presentation, I'd like to tell you a little story. The lesson today, and I consider myself more of a teacher than I do a preacher. I try to do the things which I think people may not know in the Bible, myself included. So whenever I study this, I want to know for myself. And God lays this on my heart, and I hope that this message today is called What's in a Name will be more informational to you and a message that God will reveal to you more than anything. What's in a name? I've been called many names, quite a few by my wife. Some of them I can't repeat here, but she's been a loving wife and for 50 years. But I've been called a lot of names, Mr., Sergeant, NCOIC, and many of us have, as we go through life. But one name that I was born with was Jimmy Don Williams. And I knew it was Jimmy Don Williams because my mother, when she said the middle name, I knew I was in trouble. But my mother named me Jimmy. And I remember I started school when I was 5 years old. And I went to school and my teacher told me, she said, no, your name is not Jimmy. Your name is James. Well, you can imagine how confusing it was for a five-year-old boy. It was quite traumatic. So I went home and told my mother that she was wrong. You don't tell my mother that she was wrong about her children, about anything. My mother was a good woman. God bless her heart. And I know she's waiting for the Lord to go to heaven right now. And so she, being my mom, she went and had a talk with the teacher. Well, the teacher never called me James no more. And she learned my name that day, and so did I. But I don't mind being called James, because it is a biblical name. And I've been called James by a lot of people all my life. And I'm sure that many of us have. But before we open our Bibles, let's read about a man. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was born May 18, 1883 in Quevedon, United Kingdom, and died January 31st, 1892 in Menton, France. He was on his way to church that morning. Some references say he's on his way to a meeting, but it was a meeting at a church. And this was a cold, snowy morning in which the drifts was quite high. Matter of fact, he had a difficult time making it to church. He couldn't even make it to church. He made it to a different church. He went down this alley, and he went to a Methodist chapel. Now, this boy was 15 years old at the time. And so I'm quoting now. It says, in that chapel that morning, there may have been a dozen or 15 people. The minister did not come that morning. He was snowed up, I suppose. At last, a very thin-looking man, a shoemaker or a tailor or something of that sort, went up into the pulpit to preach. Now, it is well instructed that preachers be instructed, but this man was really stupid. He was obliged to stick to his text for the simple reason that he had little else to say. The text was, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, in Isaiah 45:22. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a man you have to take in consideration. And while our 15-year-olds, I'm sure, are more intelligent and more, they're better educated, I guess, than this man, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, at the time. He was 15 years old, and I think that's the reason he said, and I quote again, that this man was really stupid. We don't normally say that, and we don't normally preach that in church, but I was quoting this man, and I have to tell the truth about quotes. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, let it be known to us today your message. Let it be known to us that everything that you would have us to hear and everything you'd have us to understand. Let's not only hear these things today, Lord, but let us ponder them in our hearts so that we may keep them in our hearts and in our minds for as long as we live. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message. It is your message, Lord, and not mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if I can get this to work, and I pray I can, we'll go to the next slide. Thank God. We're going to talk about God's family album and what's in a name. Now, we're not going to go through every name that's in God's family album. We don't have that much time, probably before the Lord comes, and though he decides to linger a many number of years. What we will discuss today is people who God named, people whose names were changed by God, and three are names that important to God. Let's first look at the people who God personally named. We'll start with Ishmael. Ishmael in Genesis 16:11 means God hears. And I'll have the information up here on the board for you and the references. It would be quite cumbersome to try to turn as fast as I'm going to travel through some of these slides. But you're welcome to try to. I just don't want to hold up everybody for you turning to be there. But if you're quite fast, or you can write these messages down, write these scriptures down, and read them later if you'd like to check me out. It says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, Hagar, Sarah's maid. Now, I gave a sermon once before in Deckard, and I got a critique on it. One of the critiques is that some of us in here may not know who Sarah was, and definitely may not know who Hagar was. And matter of fact, this gentleman didn't. And so I just assumed that everybody knew. Hagar was married to Abraham, which most of us will know. Sarai was married to Abram, who changed his name to Abraham, and God changed her name to Sarai. And Hagar was her handmaid. And when she thought they couldn't have any children, Abram and Sarai, well, then Sarai gave Hagar to Abraham to have a child by him. She said, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. So Ishmael is a son of Abraham. And it will say Abraham because later on God changed his name. Then next, all of a sudden, Sarai, who God changed her name to Sarah, found out that she could have a child, and God said she's going to have a child, and she laughed, and God named his name Isaac because it means laughter. So then God says, Sarah, thy wife. Now, he had changed Sarah's name at this time from Sarah to Sarah. And thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Now, God had already promised Abraham that he would establish his seed through his sons. And he done this. Isaac is just a son of Abraham, and down through the generations, and we as Christians, believe not, forgive me for not knowing the text, but if you ask me later on, I'll look it up for you. But we, being Christians, are actually sons and daughters of Abraham. And although we're God's sons and daughters. But in the next one is, we're looking at one of the, the prophets named Hosea. Hosea was a prophet. He was, every country back then, where it be Israel or whether it be, it was Judah and then the Israel, and so they split. But Hosea was a was a, each one of them had a prophet, and down through the ages there was different prophets, just like we look at Ellen White as being a prophet. Well, she, to me, is a prophet of the latter people. That's us. But there's also these messages that these other prophets, I believe, came for two reasons. Number one, for the people during that time, and for us. I think it was both. I think it was meant for both. So if they say something, if God's Word tells us something, it was not only meant for them, it was meant for us. Just like we discussed the false gods and how we're not supposed to worship false gods and things like that. It's meant for us. But Hosea, most prophets, God said, I want you to marry a widow, a virgin, or I want you to marry some nice woman. I don't want you to marry no harlot. Hosea was just the opposite. God said, I want you to go find a harlot and marry her. Not only that, I want her to have children. So it's not your children, and she's a harlot. Now that just blew my mind whenever I first read it a few years ago. Said, and the Lord said unto him, he's going to call his name Jezreel in Hosea 1:4, which means God scatters. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So I'm taking these out of context. That's one thing the pastor always told me. He said, don't take things out of context. But if I didn't take them out of context, and I read them in context, it would take quite a long time. And the object of the game is just to, the message today, it's not a game, the message today is to learn that these people that God named or renamed, or why God has so much meaning in these names. So says, I will avenge the blood of Israel upon the house of Jehu and will cause cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. So God's going to put a stop to Israel or itself in due time. Now, next one, I have low, R-E-W-H-A-M-A-H. That means absolutely nothing. It's for me. I could not pronounce this name without it. Lo-Ruhama. And in Hosea 1:6, means not pitied. Hosea had his wife had another child by him. And this child happened to be a daughter. So then she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said to him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Now, how many people have heard of Lo-Ruhamah? I'm telling you, if God named somebody by that name, don't you think we should remember it? Don't you think we should look at it? Don't you think we should exalt the name of God because he named somebody else instead of us having to pick a name for him? I think so, especially her being the only woman that I know of that God named in the Bible. If I'm wrong, please correct me, because I do a lot of this study myself. I shouldn't do it probably, but God lays these sermons on me, and I stay to try to make these sermons up myself. Says, and now, so Hosea had two kids now by this harlot. The first one was a boy, and then this one was a girl. But he had another one in Hosea 1:8-9. Lo Ami, not my people. Now, when he had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived, talking about Hosea's wife, and there a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. He did this because Israel had turned against God. And God was so furious because he has his chosen people, and they all of a sudden had turned against him. And so he's naming his children after this. And his children's names may not be one that you would want to have the meaning of, but I would like to be named by God. And I think that's the reason I have no objection to James, you know. But the next one we study about is quite lengthy. It's John the Baptist. Yeah, most of us know who John the Baptist was. He's quite known in the Bible. Matter of fact, in one place, he's one of the greatest prophets. He is the greatest prophet that's ever known to man. And God says, means Jehovah has been gracious. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in their years. Now, if we study the Bible enough, we'll know that Elizabeth was actually John the Baptist's mother, which was a cousin of Elizabeth was a cousin of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So they were kin. And it says, so it was that, and Zacharias was a priest. He was a high priest. And as we see in the vision of Abijah, so it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now he was burning incense. It was the high Sabbath. It was the Day of Atonement. And he was burning incense, and he was he was praying to the Lord. He was not only praying, he was preaching to the Lord and blessing the Lord for all that he had done and praying to the Lord for the people, because he had to pray for the sins of the people where God wouldn't punish them. And once a year in the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and he would minister to God so that he would not punish the people, all the sins of the people that had been gathered for that whole year. And it says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. You see that a lot in the Bible, where that fear falls upon the people who sees angels. I don't know if they're that scary or if it just knows you're in the presence of God. But it says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be a great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Who else did God tell not to drink wine? Anybody? That's right, Samson. Samson was told not to drink wine or strong drink, and Samson went against God's word, and we know that story is for a different time. But anyway, said that, fear not, Zacharias, for that prayer has been heard. So Jehovah's been gracious. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this question? How do I know that this is going to have a son? Yeah, I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Now, why would the angel of the Lord make Zacharias mute? Because he asked a question. There was another question that was asked basically by the same, in the same way, by Mary, Elizabeth's cousin, where she was impregnated with Christ. She said, how can this be? I have not known a man. But what's the difference between the two? I tell you, there's a lot of difference. That was a young teenage Jewish girl who had never known a man. This was a man standing up on the pulpit in the name of God Almighty, and he had asked a question of which he and his wife had been praying about. They had been praying about this. He's a man of God. He ought to know that the story of Abraham and Sarah, he ought to know that God can perform these things. God can perform anything. But he did not believe God. In Luke 1:59-66, and it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. Now this is after John had been born. On the eighth day, as the Bible says, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And when I was growing up, they always named our children after our ancestors. You know, they'd try to pick out a good name, like some of my kinfolk named Reuben and James and others. And so they'd try to name it after the ancestors. But no, it says, and his mother answered, said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of that kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father. How would he have been called? So they're asking the father. Said, no, you're wrong, Elizabeth. You can't name him John. So Zacharias, what do you want to call him? And he asked for a writing table. Remember, he was mute. And wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. Praise God. Amen. Then fear came upon all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill of country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? Question. And the hand of the Lord was with him, and he was the greatest prophet that ever lived, according to the Bible. So they all praise him. Now, while the Bible does not say this, God likely named Adam as well. And I believe this with all my heart because I don't think Adam would name himself. But that's just Jim Williams' belief. It's not biblical. Number two, how is there, now we here is a list of people that God gave a new name to. We'll start with Abraham. We've already discussed Abraham quite a bit. Father of many nations in Genesis 17:3-5. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be Abraham, for a father of many nations I have made thee. God changed Abram to Abraham. And here we look at his wife in Genesis 17:15-16. He changed Sarai to Sarah. It means princess. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings shall be of her. And that is true, because, like I said, we're all descendants. All of us Christians. And now, Jacob to Israel, one of One of Isaac's 12 sons was named Jacob. So in Genesis 32:27-28 and Genesis 35:10, we read it means he strives with God. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said to him, what is thy name? Question. And he said, Jacob. Like he didn't know his name. He knew his name. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. And, of course, we know, Israel had the 12 sons. And we're so grateful for that. You know, God keeps blessing the household of each individual right down through the line. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee I will give the land. Now here he says, if you notice up above, if I can get this point of work, and God said to him, I am God Almighty. Do we call God Almighty today? We'll discuss that in a minute. Solomon to Jedidiah in 2 Samuel 12, 24 and 25, beloved of the Lord. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. And that's another story, like I said, as Samson would be, for a different time. And went in to lay with her. David was King David at this time. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, who was a prophet to the king at that time, King David, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Jedidiah. How many people in here refer to King Solomon as Jedidiah? I didn't either. But I promise you, I will try to remember that every time King Solomon comes on my mind and on my lips, I will try to pronounce Jedidiah also. Because if the Lord named you, how much more can you be blessed? And Simon to Peter in Matthew 16:16-8, rock, which Simon means, Peter means. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God was pretty serious about this. Next, Lucifer's name in Isaiah 14:12 was changed to Satan. It means adversary. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And we call Satan many names. And I've called him a few other names, too, that can't be repeated here. Now, are names that important to God? In Revelation 19:11-16, in the New King James Version, we read that names are that important. Now, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who was set on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. We immediately get that image of Christ. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And here we see Almighty God again. And, before it was God Almighty, this time it's Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God for that name. Amen. Number three are names that are important to God. What does Ellen White say? Question. In Christ Object Lessons, page 141. In order to strengthen our confidence in God, Christ teaches us to address him by a new name, a name entwined with the dearest associations of the human heart. He gives us the privilege of calling the infinite God our Father. This name, spoken to him and of him, is a sign of our love and trust toward him, and pledge of his relationship to us, spoken when asking his favor or blessing, as music in his ears. Think that we might not think it presumption to call him by his name. He has repeated it again and again. He desires us to become familiar with appellation. We call God the Father because God is our Father. He's our Creator. He is the one and only of our creation. And there's three people in the Bible, and I've wondered, often wondered, I read this many years ago, and I couldn't understand it. And I said something against one of these people at one time, and I shouldn't have spoke. I spoke it out of turn. It says, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness, in Ezekiel 14:20. As you go through the Bible, you'll find it, and maybe not in the same order, but in three or four places, you'll find these three mentioned in the Bible. Even though Daniel, Job, and Noah, even though Job, Noah, and Daniel, it may be in there like that, but it means that they are great. And then finally, it's Jesus in Matthew 1:20-21 and Matthew 25. It means Jehovah is our Savior. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou art son of David. Fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Joseph knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And again in Luke 1:31 and 2:21, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision, just like in John's case, of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The eighth day was custom, and many people is custom today to be circumcised. And at that time, I believe you have to name the kids. I don't know. Matt may know this. You need to name the kids plenty of time when you're in the hospital, right? Before they leave the hospital, you have to give them a name. You don't have to? Okay. Oh, you don't have to. Okay. Okay. Well, I stand corrected. They don't have to know the name before they leave the hospital. In Luke 1:31 and 2:21, says, call his name Jesus, and she before the womb. And here, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In Philippians 2:9, and we should bow to our God and our Father in Jesus Christ. Before we get to this, it said in God Almighty. God, but it says in one place, and it may be after this, and I apologize if it is, it says in one place in the Bible, Abraham and Isaac, and those guys, they didn't know me by God Almighty. God even changed his name. We'll look at that, I believe, in a second. One woman was converted through reading a single page of one of Spurgeon's sermons wrapped around some butter she had bought, and it was not fresh butter. So God will use anybody, even us, even me, I pray, to help convert someone to his family. Spurgeon read The Pilgrim's Progress at age 6 and went on to read it over 100 times. How many people have read The Pilgrim's Progress? It's a great book, isn't it? Great book. I would advise anyone who hasn't read it to read it. It's a great book. Spurgeon's mother had 17 children, and we complain today. 9 of whom died in infancy, I'm sorry to say. When Charles Spurgeon was only 10 years old, a visiting missionary, Richard Neal, said that the young Spurgeon would one day preach the gospel to thousands and would preach in Rowland Hills Chapel, the largest dissenting church in London. His words were fulfilled. That is quite an amazement. Before he was 20, Spurgeon had preached over 600 times. If my math serves me well, that's about 120 times a year. That's quite a feat. I have a problem doing a couple of sermons a month. Spurgeon typically read 6 books per week and could remember what he had read and where even years later. Again, I have a problem in that, and I'll discuss one of these days whenever I give my testimony. But Charles Spurgeon's quote, I think, is one of the greatest I've ever heard. A lie can travel halfway around the world before the truth is putting on his shoes. There's one more name that God changed, and here it is in Exodus 6:3, God himself. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but my name, Lord, I was not known to them. Exodus 6:3. God even changed. Now, I know there's many names for God, but God changed his own name to Lord. And I use Lord a lot. You hear me in my prayers and whatnot. I've never used God Almighty. And I think since the Lord changed his name, it's just Jim Williams' belief that I think we ought to use it. And we'll close the sermon. If we can have our closing hymn.